Last couple of days, particularly this morning, my heart has been very burdened for the state of our country, the state of our world, because of the filthiness and the nastiness of what human beings are doing one to another. Last night, many of you are aware that in Dayton, Ohio, a gunman opened fire and killed 9 people and wounded 3, 4, 5 dozen others. Yesterday in El Paso, Texas, a gunman opened fire and killed 20, wounded another 26. 6 days ago, a gunman opened fire at a food festival in California, killing 4. 4 months ago, another tragic shooting. 5 months ago, another tragic shooting. It just seems left and right, people are killing one another, destroying lives and having an effect on people that they don't even fathom because they're so angry and they're so hurt. And I question, understand, God, why does these things take place? Why are people killing people? Now this morning, I don't think and I hope that there's nobody in this room that has committed mass murder. If you do, please don't tell me. But the fact of the matter is we all have killed mass murder, or we've all committed mass murder. You say, wait a minute, by how? By how we've treated one another. How we've treated one another with our words, with our actions, with our attitudes. Jesus said, if you hate in your heart your brother, you have committed murder. If you disrespect one another and talk bad about one another, you have indeed killed them with what you've done. They say, oh, wait a minute, Brother Brian. I didn't come here to be made filled guilty. I don't like this. Well, the truth of the matter is all of us are guilty of it. But here's the hope that we have. We have the hope in Jesus Christ that He has overcome our sins by His death, burial, and resurrection. Because our Savior lives, we also can live. We don't have to go through life killing. We can instead go through life healing. We can go through life loving. And when we do that, we bring honor to God. I'm hoping this morning, when we get done looking at what God's Word says, that we determine to stop hating, and we determine to stop killing, and we determine instead to start loving. That's what Jesus told us to do. And by the way, there's not a single person in this room, including the person standing before you, who is not guilty of murder by hate. But I hope this morning, before we leave, including this person standing up here, that we'll repent from our hate and choose love instead. Father, thank You for Your Word that we're going to read. I'm asking that the Holy Spirit, who is here this morning, because He's here because we're here, that He will speak to us through Your Word. He will convict, encourage, that He will do the work that only He can do, that I can't possibly accomplish. Fill my mind and my mouth, open our hearts, and may You be glorified. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. Here in John chapter number 13, we're in verse number 31. Judas has now left the upper room to go and betray Jesus Christ, to get paid for betraying Jesus Christ, and to arrange the meeting between the Pharisees and the Sadducees' soldiers and where Jesus was going to be. And so that has been accomplished. And now Jesus turns to the other 11 disciples, and here's what He teaches them in verse 31. Therefore, when he, Judas, was gone out, Jesus says to the other 11 disciples, He says, now is the Son of Man glorified, and God is glorified in Him. Now you're thinking, now wait a minute, how is Jesus glorified through this? How is God glorified through this? Brothers and sisters, God is glorified through Judas's betrayal because Jesus Christ is going to save our souls. That's how God is glorified. And God is glorified because Jesus is going to obey and do what he does to bring glory to God. May I help you understand something this morning, brothers and sisters? You don't exist for your good. You don't exist for my good. You don't exist for anybody's good except to bring glory to God. And when you bring glory to God, that is done by doing good. That is done by loving one another. That is done by obeying what God's Word says. When you do those things, you bring glory to God. Teenagers, children, look at your pastor for a minute. When you don't obey your parents, you're not bringing glory to God, you're bringing glory to yourself. When you say, I don't care what my mom and dad want, and you determine that you're going to do what you want to do, what you're essentially doing is saying, God, I don't care what you want, I'm going to do what I want. And may I warn you, and I know the parents and parents will agree with this, and I want you to say amen, grandparents, when you bring glory to yourself, when you do what you want to do, it always ends in disaster. Can I get a witness? Okay, parents and grandparents. When you determine to do what you want to do, regardless of what you know is right, according to the Word of God, you bring yourself glory, but you dishonor what God wants you to do. And all the kids said, that's your chance. Come on, guys. See, here's the fact of the matter. We either choose to obey what God's Word says, or we choose to do what we say. And Jesus is looking at His disciples and He's saying this, fellas, I am now glorified, and because I'm glorified, God is glorified. And they're looking at Him not quite understanding, because remember, He's told them over and over and over again that He had to be crucified. He's told them and helped them to understand that I've got to die. But they haven't quite got it yet. Look at the next verse here. Then he says in verse 32, if God be glorified in him, speaking of himself, God shall also glorify him in himself and shall straightway glorify him. Now they're thinking, now wait a minute, that sounds like circular reasoning. Let me help you out here a little bit, Terry. Help myself out, not you. Is that better? There you go. I'm not rubbing so much. Jesus said, I'm going to be glorified one day. And when I'm glorified, God will be glorified. Now, how is Jesus going to be glorified? The Bible says that every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Now, when he told his disciples here, they didn't understand what was going on. But essentially what Jesus is saying, one day you'll understand. You don't understand right now, but one day you're going to understand. Then he hits them with something else right between the eyes. Now remember, when they entered the upper room that night, they were fighting one with another, trying to determine who was better, trying to do and figure out who was in control. And he's already demonstrated to them about washing feet. But now it hits them again between the eyes. Look what he says here. Little children, yet a little while I am with you, you shall seek me. And as I said to the Jews, whither I go, you cannot come. So now I say unto you, he said, listen, I'm getting ready to go somewhere. You can't come right now. I'm getting ready to leave you. And then he says this. A new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. He says, listen, here's a better commandment that I've given to you. Love one another. Underline that in your Bibles. Highlight in that Bibles. Circle it in your Bibles. And put your enemy's name right there. Woo! I'm not talking about Satan. By the way, wives, you're not married to Satan, even though it might seem like it sometimes. Husbands, you're not married to Jezebel, even though it might seem like it sometimes. Your children are not demonic spawn. Your neighbor is not your enemy. Your enemy is not flesh and blood. Your enemy is Satan himself. And he's the one that causes that hate and that anger. This fellow that committed this horrible thing in El Paso, you read the news stories and you hear what the reporters are saying, everything else. That has got nothing to do with political alliances. It's got everything to do with hate-filled heart. Now, I want to tell you something very bluntly to every single one of you in here this morning, including myself. You are capable of doing what that person did. Every single one of us are. When we let hate rule and not love. When it finally spills over the edge. Brother Brian, what was it that finally spilled that person over the edge? I have no understanding and I don't have any idea. But when you let your heart become so full of hate, because you've been hurt or because you're angry or a perceived hurt, and you let anger and hurt and bitterness dwell and build up and build up and build up, and finally there's nothing left but hate, you're capable of doing anything that destroys lives. I'm hoping that in this room there's not somebody on the verge. I'm hoping that there's not somebody getting ready to step over that line. You say, Brother Brian, is a Christian capable of mass murder? Yes. A Christian is capable of doing anything when we don't listen to the Holy Spirit anymore. Ooh, I don't know if I agree with that, Brother Brian. Well, what does Peter do in a few short hours from this conversation? He denies Jesus Christ three times. How many of you agree? That's pretty brutal. Was Peter saved? Of course he was. But he wasn't letting the Holy Spirit, he wasn't letting love determine his actions. He was letting his emotions determine his actions. Can I warn you something this morning? Well, if you don't, I'll let do it anyway. When you let your emotions and your anger and your bitterness dictate, it always ends up in death. Always. Jesus told his disciples right here, he says, fellas, I want you to love one another as I have loved you, that you may also love one another. But then he hits him right between the eyes with this. He says this, by this, what? Your love one for another, by this shall all men know that you are my disciples if you have love one to another. You can get the fish sign tattooed on your forehead. You can put a gigantic fish figure on the back of your vehicle. You can wear all the golden crosses that you want. You can proclaim WWJD and wear every color bracelet. You can get Jesus' name tattooed all over your body. And you can do those things, but those mean nothing if your actions don't show that you really love people. I've known some of the meanest people in the world that wore a beautiful golden cross. I've known some of the meanest people in the world that have a gigantic cross tattooed right there in the middle of their chest. Symbols mean nothing. Actions speak volumes. You say you love Jesus? Do you say that you really love Jesus Christ? Then why do you hate other people? Why do you go against what God's Word clearly teaches? Why do you disrespect what God wants you to do by treating other people wrong? Children, you say you love God, then why do you disobey your parents? Why? Then you're a liar. Moms and dads, spouses, you say you love God, then why do you speak to each other that way? You say you love your children? Why do you beat them for no reason? Why do you do it? You say you love one another. Why won't this side of the room speak to that side of the room? Why, as soon as church, you go out these doors instead of going out those doors? Well, because it's quicker to our car. Oh, I didn't know that church was about getting out quick. Why don't you linger? Well, Brother Brian, I'm really uncomfortable. I'm an introvert, and I really don't. You're looking at the worst introvert in the world. Me! I invented the name Wallflower. What is that? We'll go look it up. You'll find out. Brothers and sisters, that's just an excuse for not loving like God has told you to do. I can come up with all kinds of reasons not to love you. I can come up with a whole list of reasons why I don't like you and why I shouldn't treat you with respect. But instead of finding out reasons to not love, I need to find the reasons to love. Yes, I make you angry. And yes, you make me angry. But that doesn't mean I can't love you. I can't respect you, treat you with human decency. Brothers and sisters, I'm not angry. I'm hurt for the world. I'm hurt for you guys. We need love one to another. In World War II, when the Allies were battling the Germans in the Battle of the Bulge, the army was facing a horrible situation. You could read about it and see. And when a soldier got wounded in a foxhole, they would always scream, "Medic!" And the guy would come running up to the from the back to come up and start healing them. The medic would never take a gun and shoot him in the head. The medic was there to heal because he loved that. He may not know that soldier personally, but he was called to love. Brothers and sisters, we're all wounded. We're all hurting. And we're crying, "Medic! Medic!" But what's happening is sometimes, instead of medicine, we're bringing a bullet. Because we're not loving each other like Jesus told us to do. You say you're a Christian. You say you follow Christ. How about trying love instead of hate? That fellow that pulled the trigger last night in Dayton. That one that pulled the trigger in El Paso. That one that pulled the trigger in California. In just the past week. Did they do it because they knew Jesus Christ their Savior? Absolutely not. They were so full of hate. And unfortunately, we're going to hear more of this. Nothing we can do. Yes, there is. You know what we can do? We can love. We can love. You can choose to love. You can choose to go out of your way to show respect. You can choose to go out of your way and make a difference in somebody's life. You can choose to stop being so stinking selfish and self-centered and doing what you want to do and start opening yourself up and saying, "God, use me as an instrument of love instead of an instrument of hate." When you refuse to love others, then you're essentially hating others. Well, that's brutal. What did Jesus say? If you are my disciple, you're going to love one another. That is showing that you really love me for who I am. Now, I'm not talking about y'all, because y'all are here. I'm talking about people who aren't here this morning, okay? Y'all love one another. It's evident, okay? So, just, whew, okay, good. I don't want to be stepping on your toes. But here's the reality, brothers and sisters. I am glad that Victory Baptist Church is full of people who love one another. I am looking at people right now who go out of their way to love one another. I see it every day. The demonstration of things that you do that nobody knows about. The phone calls, the cards that you send, the efforts that you make to help out. Praise the Lord! You love one another and you're demonstrating it. May I encourage you? Keep on keeping on! Don't stop loving! That's what we need. You're showing that you belong to Christ because you're loving one another. Keep it up! Don't stop! Because you have overcome by the blood of the Lamb. Jesus said, "By this shall all men..." Now the word "men" there is italicized. That means that that word was not in the language. It was added to give completeness to the thought. So let's take that word out just a second and look at this. "By this shall all..." That means everybody. They put that in there to make it complete. So let's say, "By this," by loving one another, "by this shall all know that you are my disciple." You can preach that you love Jesus all you want to your neighbor, but until you love them, it means nothing. You could preach that you love Jesus to your children, to your spouse, to your family, but until you demonstrate it, it means nothing. I can tell my wife all day long that I love her, but if I don't treat her with respect and I don't do things to help her, I'm a stinking liar. Melissa, amen. I'll get you later. If you say you love, do it. You say, "Brother Brian, I'm hurt. They hurt me. They've taken advantage of me. They've used me." What did Jesus say? Love. Now, John writes this because he was present when it took place. He heard these words. But I want to show you where else John talks about this. Go to 1 John real quick. 1 John. Chapter 3, 4, and 5 is all about love. But let me show you where it says in 1 John. Go to the book of Revelation and go left about four books. Find Revelation, you'll find Jude, then you'll find 3 John, 2 John, and then you'll find 1 John. 1 John chapter number 3. Verse number 11. 1 John chapter number 3, verse number 11. Here's what John writes, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, of course. "For this is the message that you heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. Not as Cain, who was of that wicked one, and slew his brother, and wherefore slew he him?" Why did he kill him? "Because his own works were evil, and his brother's righteous. Marvel not, my brethren, if the world hates you. We know that we have passed from death unto life, because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abides in death." You know that you are a disciple of Christ. You know that Jesus Christ is living inside of you if you love, not hate. How is it capable of a brother killing a brother when hate rules and not love? So you tell me, Brother Brian, that we had to walk around our household singing "Kumbaya" all the time? Everything is rosy. Nothing will ever go wrong. We'll never have another disagreement. No. But you love in spite of how you're treated. You love in spite of the hate. You love. But Brother Brian, what if I get abused? what if these things happen to me and I don't deserve it? Then you get yourself out of that situation. Get yourself to a safe place. Do what's right, but don't kill. Get out of it. Get you some help. Go to somebody. Get some help. Don't keep yourself in that situation where you're being abused. No, wrong. But don't let it become hate where you become hate-filled. Love one another. This is not easy. Because I've been in a situation where I was abused for years and years and years. And I had two choices. I could learn to hate, or I could learn to love in spite of the abuse. Where did that come from? Because Jesus Christ saved my soul. When Jesus was on the cross, he said these words, "It is finished." You say, wait a minute, what does that mean? That means what he came to do was accomplished, dying for our sins. And then he said this, after he arose again, he met the disciples up in the upper room, and here's what he said. He said, "I have come to give you new life." Well, you don't believe me? Go back to John chapter 20 real quick. Let me show you. John chapter 20. Let me read this to you. I am not making light of anything that's negatively happened in your family or to you. Not doing it, because I can't even begin to fathom the anger and the hurt that's taken place in your life. I'm not excusing it, and I'm not saying you ought to excuse it whatsoever. Abuse is wrong. It's horrible. It's nasty. But don't let hate fill you. Don't let hate fill you. It will destroy you. Look what John said, chapter 20, verse number 19. Jesus appears to the disciples and it says this, "Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut where the disciples were assembled, for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst of them and said this, 'Peace be unto you.' And when he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side, and his disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. Then said Jesus to them again, 'Peace be unto you. As my Father has sent me, even so send I you.' And when he had said this, he breathed on them and he said unto them, 'Receive you the Holy Ghost. Whosoever sins you remit, they are remitted unto you, and whosoever sins you retain, they are retained unto you.'" In other words, he says, listen, I've brought you another comforter. That's where the love's going to come from. Now, I hesitated this morning to share this with you because I know that some of you have been through hell itself on this earth. Some of you have been used and abused in ways that I'll never understand. And I'm not making light of it whatsoever. Some of you may be in an abusive situation right now. And you say, "Brother Brian, how dare you tell me to love them?" May I tell you that it's impossible for you to love them without Christ loving them through you. I don't know your pain. And I'm not minimizing it. But brothers and sisters, love wins, hate loses. If you're in a bad situation, get out. Get help. You don't deserve to be abused. Don't let hate overcome. Let love prevail. Love. I can't do it, Brother Brian. How many of you agree Jesus wins? you belong to Jesus, you win. You don't deserve abuse. You don't deserve to be hated. You deserve love. God loves you. God loves you. He doesn't hate you. Do me a favor this morning. If you're confused, if you disagree, I'll be more than happy to talk with you and help you. It's taken me, we've been married 25, almost 26 years. All these things took place in my life when I was a teenager, way back when dinosaurs roamed the earth. These took place several years ago in my life. And I'm just now overcoming them. I've chosen love instead of hate. The victory comes through Jesus, not anger. Please, love. Don't hate. Amen. You claim to be a disciple? Love. Love. Let's all stand together, heads bowed and eyes closed. There is no excuse for abuse. There's no excuse to use anybody. None. But there's every reason to love. I want to ask you a question. Heads bowed and eyes closed. Just us in here this morning. Just be honest this morning. How many can raise your hand and say, Brother Brian, I'm finding it hard to love because I've been hurt. Would you just lift your hand this morning? Just lift your hand. I'm finding it hard to love because I've been hurt. My hand's up. I'm with you. Anybody else? Come on. Just be honest. Put your hands up. Brother Brian, I'm finding it hard to love because I've been hurt. Next question. Brother Brian, I'm finding it hard to love because I've been hurt, but I need God to help me love. Would you pray for me? Lift your hand there. Come on now. Just be honest this morning. I'm there. Last question. How many of you know somebody who needs to love instead of hate? Would you lift your hand to pray for them? Anybody like that? How many of you know somebody who needs love and not hate? Here's what we're going to do this morning. We have an open altar. I'm going to invite you to come. Come with yourself, come with your parents, come with your friends. But come and ask God to help you. If you need to pray with somebody, I'll be right here. Tanner will be here. Sarah will be here. My wife will be here. We'll pray with you. I'm not making light of anything. But I want to show you love. Heavenly Father, you know our hearts and our needs. God, it's so hard to reflect and understand and to show your love. I know there's pain in this room. And I in no way intend to make light of that. But I want us to choose love. To get help. To not put ourselves in a situation where we could be abused. But to get love. Because we are precious, because you've made us. So Father, please, you do what needs to be done. And may you be glorified by our love one for another. In Christ's name I pray. Heads bowed and eyes closed. Brother Dan's going to begin to sing. I invite you to come. I invite you to come. Won't you come now?
Touch me again. Thank you.